welcome to another Happy Pod, the only podcast in the world. My name is Nathan. As always, I am joined by my wonderful co-host as we go on this adventure through time. what do I say on this one?
The only podcast in the world. And then I think you just intro me, and then I do my thing. You tell me to shut up.
I'm joined by you. I don't care as much about this one anymore. Now that still our legs is popping off.
You're not supposed to say that in the first 30 seconds of this episode, Nathan. We put less effort in. We don't give a fuck.
I just don't try as hard. Anyway, my name's Nathan. I'm joined by this gun here. His name's Lawrence. Hello.
Is all that staying in?
Yeah,
we've always said full transparency.
Yeah, it's not that I don't. I care very much about it. I just like he's loose, you know. I'll.
Yeah,
it's like there's
fewer far less likely to succeed this one.
Yeah, there's fewer people listening to it. This is a little niche thing, so you know, I'll be a little bit loose on here.
Oh, speaking of being loose, Nathan, this is the show where each week we get together to discuss something in the realm of pop culture. It could be a movie, it could be a telly show, it could be a video game. But the main thing is that we do so without any of the toxic discourse or effort that we put into Still Got Legs. How are you today?
Lots of toxic discourse lately, I feel like. I feel like it's getting more and more toxic. So clearly this podcast is failing in its mission.
Yeah. We haven't been the one shining light in the discourse that we said we would always be.
Exactly.
What do you mean more discourse?
I feel like everyone's just yelling about stuff these days.
I think that's just part and parcel with how it's always been, maybe if not a bit louder. Have you been focusing on more things? Is your algorithm just showing you more negative Nellies?
Well, I don't know. I just feel like it's a lot of that. anyway, what are we here to do, Lawrence?
We're here to talk about a movie that was suggested to us.
It's true. Yeah, sometimes people suggest movies to us. You can do that by going onto our Twitter. If you go to the pinned tweet, there's a little link to a Google form where you can fill in and put in a suggestion. And this was suggested by Caleb from Florida in the United States of America. That's a wonderful place. Home of the Gators and theme parks. That's what I know about Florida.
Yeah, the only things I've ever heard about Florida is that the people that live there don't like living there. But I think that's by and large kind of the same with I hate living in England. So
yeah, everyone hates living everywhere. Anyway, Caleb also provided a summary of why they believe we should cover it. And they say, very good movie. Watched for the first time recently and think it's a good movie to talk about to discuss with others. So, well, we'll test that theory, shall we? Let's have a look.
That's what we're doing here. That's the whole point.
That is what we're doing. So thank you, Caleb, for that suggestion. Again, if you do want to suggest something to us, just hop on over to our Twitter, @StillGotLegsPod. At another happy pod.
Jesus.
Oh my god. At another happy pod, and you'll be able to see the link in the pinned tweet. I will say, though, we are kind of well, I say we. I'm a planner, and we do have a schedule, quite a lot of this year is already planned in advance.
There are several blank spots, and we've also been very known to move shit.
It's true,
depending on what we want. Yeah.
It's true, we can move stuff around, but you know, still, like it just might take us a little bit to get to it. Is all I'm saying. Because right now, the next free space we have isn't until July. So,
look, there'll be a backlog, but I do want people to send them in because this system is very beneficial for me and Nathan, who famously have very different movie tastes.
Yes.
And therefore always disagree about what to put. Every single thing that we end up recording, just know there's probably been about at least a 5-minute discussion on the merit and worth of us talking about it and who's going to scream out of stress first.
And by discussion, he means argument.
Yeah, that's always what I mean by discussion.
Yeah. Anyway, let's have a discussion about The Thing from 1982.
Was that code? Did you not like it? Are we going to fight?
Let's have a discussion about The Thing from 1982. Lawrence, have you seen this movie?
I'd seen this movie for the first time about 7-ish months ago.
7-ish months ago?
Yes, and then again today. How about you? Had you seen this?
No.
This is a straight up, you were a The Thing virgin.
I was a The Thing virgin, hadn't seen it, knew next to nothing about it, to be honest. I knew...
Oh, really? Okay.
I knew, like, kind of two things about it. I had, like, heard, like, the practical effects and makeup are very good. Like, this is often hailed as, like, the gold standard of practical effects and stuff. So I knew that. And then I had a vague idea. It was kind of about like a monster, but I always thought it was like a bear or something. So okay. Clearly okay. Quite wrong on that.
Had you seen the very famous poster of the person in a coat with a big glowing face?
Not a glowing face. I remember seeing, and I think this was a video game cover, because I think there's a video game of it.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong on that. But I remember seeing a poster, and it's like a person in the snow, but like with the hood up, and you see them from the back. So no face, just like a hood, and you see them in the snow from the back, and they're like crouched over in the snow or whatever.
So there is a video game. I don't know anything about it other than, you know, the ambiguity of this movie's ending.
Yes.
It's so often, this is often, this has been hailed, and we'll get to it, but this has been hailed as one of all of cinema's all-timer endings. Apparently this ending is incredible according to most, right?
Well, we'll see.
And then I know that the video game that apparently came out like years and years after is just like, all of that ambiguity, here's some solid answers, we're doing some things.
Here's a big boss battle instead, basically. Yeah. Quick shooters, glowing spot, quick.
Something yeah, like that. And it's his face. He's got a glowing face.
Oh, great, yeah. Okay, perfect.
Kurt Russell twatting with the fucking flamethrower.
I kind of get that, though, because... going back to the video game thing, because it's a video game. If you have a video game and you end it with this, like, ambiguity sort of thing, you're like, oh, all right, you know?
I think there's an argument to be made that it didn't need to be a video game. Even though the premise would hold up. Like, Five Nights at Freddy's is exclusively walking around a dark place hunting big things that are trying to kill you.
No, it's not. You don't walk around.
You don't walk around? What do you
do? No, you're staying in the security room and you look at cameras. Have you ever seen any Five Nights at Freddy's gameplay?
No.
Okay.
No, I've seen bits. I've never sat down and watched someone properly play it, no.
It's you're in a room, you got to check cameras.
And that's all it is?
Yeah, but it's like it's quite good. It's quite scary, though.
How'd you kill the bears and shit?
You don't kill them. You have to hide from them and stop them trying to kill you.
Why would you keep going into work if this happened?
You need money.
Not worth this.
Times are tough, Lawrence.
I'm not getting trouble.
We didn't get all grow up in a fucking castle, all right?
Oh, don't turn this into my fucking, your class war against me.
You fucking Tory over there.
Fuck, I'm not a Tory. I'm not.
Fucking dirty Tory.
I don't like them. All right, so you knew pretty much next to nothing. You thought it was a big bear.
I thought it was a bear or something. I certainly didn't know it was fucking aliens. When this movie opened up and there was a spaceship, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? What is this?
Incredible.
I had no idea.
I would have loved to experience this for the first time knowing as little as you knew.
I tell you, there were like, I should have like a Twitch channel or like some kind of reaction channel, because my face watching this movie would have been a fucking picture, mate.
Yeah.
There were several times where I was just like, that's nothing for the podcast listeners, but like, just
he did a big face.
Just a big face. Like, a big old reaction. I will say, okay, first of all, right off the bat, I have never felt more betrayed than I have when it comes to a dog in a movie before.
Okay. Yes!
Because, like, this movie opens up and there's like a dog running through the fucking Arctic desert, and then there's like a helicopter like chasing it and some guy trying to shoot it. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Leave this poor dog alone.
Leave this poor little pup alone. And then he like comes to the base and he's like, oh, I'm Swedish, I'm gonna kill you all or whatever. And then like,
and it's such a lovable dog at first, Nathan. It's just licking everyone.
It's a beautiful little husky. He's trying to survive and make friends and everything. I'm like, oh, the poor little guy. Like he's so friendly. Not big fucking alien monster, man. Big fucking. Oh my god, man! What a roller coaster! What a roller coaster of things that happen in this movie.
Things in the thing. Did you like it overall? What are your general thoughts?
What are your general thoughts on it?
So I really like it. I think it's It's like a great horror movie in the sense that it really focuses on what I love about horrors the most, which is that sense of deep paranoia that builds and this stressful, tense scenario. I like that it doesn't ever cheap out. Like, so what we've spoken about in horror movies, there's like just these like fucking pseudo jump scares that are purely there to get a rise from you because they need to raise your heart rate every 5 minutes or something. And this isn't like that. Every scary moment in this has like a fairly decent chunk of time devoted to it. And I also think it does what any good close-knit horror does, is it makes you evaluate the humans just as much as the threat itself.
Well, the humans kind of are the threat.
Well, there's an argument to be made that they are, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't... The whole thing about it is the paranoia and the fact that you don't know. Look, it's...
Sorry, Caleb, for what might come.
No, I just think... I'm just trying to be cute. It's a fucking banger, mate. This is so good.
Yeah!
This is so fucking good, man. I'm so glad I went into it, like, so blind and really not knowing much at all. Because, like, the way this movie goes and, like, the fucking journey it takes you on, it's great. And, like, how hot is Kurt Russell, man?
Kurt Russell in this movie is the epitome of an 80s movie star, right? He's got the hair, he's got the beard. He's got the icy beard.
Yeah.
Then he's like walking around like having standoffs with dynamite and flamethrowers and flares. Yeah. Like, yeah. Incredible man. Very handsome.
Very handsome. He's so hot. And like, even today, he's hot. Like, there's something about him, man.
How old is he now?
He's like 70 something, I think. But like,
oh yeah.
He looks good.
There is something to be said about a man that's 70 that can retain that amount of hair.
I know, he's got great hair. Like, it's even ridiculous. To this day, it's so good. It's like a nice...
Mate,
like...
I am 27 as of the other day, and my hair has been on the out for at least 2.5 years, at minimum.
He is not even a silver fox. He's a white fox by this point, but an Arctic fox, and he looks great.
We got a taste of that in this, little Arctic fox. Little icicles in the beard. No one else looks as good, I don't think. I think Keith David comes close.
A surprise young Keith David. He hasn't, I don't think he'd quite built up that rich timber to his voice at this point.
No.
Yeah. it's not quite the Ramirez sort of thing, you know?
Head over. Get your ass to Burger Town.
No, Burger Town, yeah. Burger shots from fucking GTA, man.
Okay. No, man, Burger, that was, I'm glad we've got that out of the way. That was going to be one of, you know, I'm a big Modern Warfare 2 lover.
Yeah, you love it.
Right. That was one of my little things, was just Keith David is here. He's as iconic as ever, even if he hasn't got that rich quality just yet.
Wilford Brimley is here. He's like, hello, I'm Wilford Brimley. I'm a doctor.
Which one's
I'm
that
gonna,
one?
He's I'm a doctor, and then I'm going to go insane. And then I'm going to, I'm going to smash up this lab. Or whatever.
What great day on set for that guy.
Yeah.
Like, just gets to fucking take an axe to a bunch of shit and flail a gun around. Yeah.
Yeah, and just shoot everyone. It's good stuff.
So you spoke about the title sequence kind of catching you off guard with the spaceship crash landing.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock. For all I knew, this was a movie about like a fucking polar bear attacking people or whatever. So I don't know, man.
How clued in were you? Were you still like, there could be a polar bear from space? Or did you figure it out pretty quick?
It could be. To be honest, I kind of forgot about that, like, as the movie went on.
Yeah.
Like, it happened, and then I was like, that's weird. And then it very quickly moves on from that. It's like, oh, we're in the desert or whatever. Here's a dog.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, here's a dog. Yeah.
It does feel like it was something that just could have... It could have been omitted, because it doesn't... I know it is an alien story, but it doesn't hold the same kind of, like, reverence for sci-fi that a movie like Aliens did.
It's definitely a sci-fi horror movie. Yeah. It's just
a thing, though, isn't it? Like, it's just a little thing that's there.
The alien's just a thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
It's just because it's set in a very Earth-based place. You know, Earth.
Yeah,
really.
It's, I mean, that will do it. Yeah.
I tell you what, this would make a banger episode of Doctor Who.
I think there's elements of it that very much are episodes of Doctor Who. There's a lot of Midnight. There's a lot of what's the new one? The new one where Donna is an alien, and so is
Wild Blue Yonder.
That's it. That's what it's called. Yeah, there are aspects of that made me think of Doctor Who while watching this. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's true. But I like you could just like plop Doctor Who in this, I think, and it would work. Like,
and he would solve the day. No, not as many people would have died.
It obviously can be as like gory and like gooey and everything, but like,
yeah,
you make it the Zygons. You put the Zygons in the fucking in the Arctic or whatever. Yeah. You got a good episode there, I reckon.
It, yeah, you would very much have to scale down the gooiness and the body horror of it all. This is,
yeah.
You said that that is the public opinion of this being very much revered as the gold standard of prosthetics.
Well, that's like one of the only things I knew about it. Yeah, yeah. I'd heard like people talk about like John Carpenter's The Thing, especially as like, you know, you want to see why practical effects are great. Watch this movie and stuff, and like. Mm.
I don't think they're wrong.
No, it's fucking incredible, man. Like that fucking scene on the fucking where like his head just like comes off the table and shit, and it's like it looks like a dude. It looks like a man, right? It doesn't look like a fucking like a meat puppet or whatever. It looks like a guy whose head is stretching and coming off his body.
Yeah.
It's insane.
There's certain scenes in this movie disarms you in a way that's like. It was an ongoing joke that John Carpenter did, and he's spoken about this, where he basically, all the really horrific body horror stuff, he made it intentional that it would be coming from the biggest nerds of the crew. Like, because if Kurt Russell was like a spider head, it would look a bit gnarly. You'd be like, that's kind of cool. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
But like, he looks cool with his beard and his hair as a little Spider-Man. But he was like, this guy, the guy who plays Norris, right? He's like in a sweater and a button-down shirt. He's a big fucking nerd.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, his head's getting ripped clean off. He's become a spider. He's a man with a 20-foot neck. And he like goo and all this like Jabba the Hutt bile emitting from his mouth style. Like, it's...
Yeah, they're all quite, like, gross and slimy and stuff. Mm.
You get a sense if you, like, touched any of them. And that's quite, like, what I like about it as well, right? It's passed on like an infection. Like, it's passed on like this kind of airborne infection to a degree. But in close contact with it, you get that sense that, like, even the ground they've walked on is, like, covered in their goo and their, like... It feels almost like a genetic thing, like a part of its kind of internal ecosystem that would spread itself by way of this disgustingness.
Yeah.
To try and find as many options for hosts as possible.
Yeah. Doesn't like fire, though.
No, I tell you what, that's a big old weakness.
It does not do well with fire.
It was like, fucking, I'm going to land in Antarctica, right?
I mean, that's the best place it could have landed, really.
Yeah, and then he gets there and sees Kurt Russell with the flamethrower and is like, for fuck's sake.
No.
Oh, back underground for another 100,000 years, I guess. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, there's a bit of... There's a few scenes where Kurt Russell's been too loosey-goosey with that fucking flare while he's like covered in dynamite. Or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you gotta watch where you're like waving that stuff around. You could go up in at any second, mate.
Yeah. And keep in mind as well, by this point in the movie, they've set the base on fire so many fucking times.
Yeah.
There could be anything in the air that would make it go up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a scary time. Have you seen, I guess it'd be very weird if you have seen it, knowing that you'd never seen this before, but you know that there is a prequel to this movie that came out in 2011.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. I thought it was a remake. I didn't know it was a prequel.
Yeah, so I thought the same until I watched it, and I watched it for work.
Yeah.
And I watched it...
Who's in that?
That's Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Joel Edgerton, and some other nerds, yeah.
I like Joel Edgerton. He lives on Mars.
I thought that was Joel Kinnaman.
Oh, yeah, that is. Shit, yeah, sorry.
Nathan, stop confusing your Joels.
I'm getting my Joels mixed up. Which one was the one that was beaten to death with a club? Spoiler alert. Fair thing you don't know.
Yeah. I know it. Are you?
I know, and people might be able to figure it out.
Okay, right. So there's it's not a remake. It is in fact a prequel. You know the Norwegian base that is visited once in this movie.
The one where they go to and they're like, oh, here's a man who's been melted together. Let's take this back to our base. That'll be fine,
yeah,
I reckon.
That seems like a good idea. Yeah. An entire Norwegian base that was torn apart. And there's a couple of dead folk. There's obviously other thing. And it's actually where the dog was running from at the start of this movie.
But the dog is the thing.
The dog is the thing. And he's escaping from the Norwegian base. So basically, they went, what if this happened? No, they basically, for the concept of the remake, they went, what if we made The Thing again, yeah, but in the Norwegian base? But so everyone still speaks English and American.
are they American and English?
There's some Norwegian scientists who maybe speak two lines of Norwegian before they just went, we're American now.
Okay.
That big guy from Game of Thrones is in it. The one that's like the big woman.
The ginger guy.
Yeah, whatever. The guy with a massive fuck-off beard, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a prequel, but they just called it The Thing again.
It's just called The Thing, yeah.
What is it with John Carpenter movies getting sequels and prequels, but just being called the exact same fucking title as the original?
If it helps you sleep at night, John Carpenter fucking hates this.
Well, I'm not surprised. Is John Carpenter still alive?
Yeah, I had a little check today. He's still kicking, and he's made several comments about this remake being like, they just made my movie again. And they called it The Thing, and it's got the same poster, and it's the same plot.
Yeah.
Like, it's genuinely one of the most like unoriginal, uninspired, needless things to ever exist.
But it's do we see because obviously there's the dudes who like, or the two dudes, I guess, who melt into one thing. Do we see that happen? And do we see the dog or whatever?
Yeah, so it's pretty much the movie's entire purpose is to go, you know how legacy sequels have that thing that a lot of people don't like about them, where they're there to like explain Han Solo's chin scar and like, how did he get the dice and how did he get his name and all of that? All of those holes that don't need closing.
Yeah.
The movie exists to do that. It's like, you know that guy that was sat in the chair that Kurt Russell looked at? Here's him dying. That's how he ended up in the chair. He died in that chair. Like, I got that. I assumed he would have
cut his own throat.
Yeah. And
he froze very quickly. I mean, it's the Arctic, I guess. But like,
yeah, I think it's because they've ripped a bunch of holes in the walls and shit, so they're very exposed to the elements. Yeah, an insanely odd movie, but they do all like, you know how in this movie they're observing them like discovering a big spaceship site under the ice.
Mm.
They have that at the start of The Thing 2011, and like it's like, look, it's a spaceship. We all know.
Okay.
We've seen The Thing.
But maybe you haven't.
And this is the worst thing, right? Because I watched this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, I watched this before watching The Thing 1982.
Oh, what an idiot you are.
I didn't like know that it was a bad movie. I was just like, oh, I'll watch I'm editing it. Like, I need to be thinking about it in very linear terms, right? I'm going to just watch this one and then the next one. That's the chronological order of it. So I put it on and I was like, that's a bad movie, but with really good concepts. And then I watched The Thing like a day later and I was like, that's like if that movie I just watched was good. It was such a bizarre experience watching these two films.
So you watched this movie knowing everything then, basically, knowing that it was a big alien boy and the dog was a monster or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that before I'd even watched any of them. Like, I just knew that The Thing was about an alien that could take on a form.
Okay.
But I didn't really know anything about the characters. I knew that Kurt Russell was in it, because how could you not?
Yeah.
But, I didn't know much of the plot stuff. And that
did
it was
I
kind
know
of
Kurt Russell was in
place.
It? I don't know if I did. Maybe I did.
You must have seen that. There's that big popular gif of him chattering his teeth with a big frozen beard.
I mean, yeah, but you see a popular gif, you don't always know where it's from.
I do. I've seen everything in pop culture.
I mean, there's that that very famous gif, rest in peace to Carl Weathers, but where him and Arnold do the big fucking muscle handshake thing. I didn't know until like earlier last year, I think, that was from Predator.
Yeah.
Don't know.
I remember when I found that out too, and I was like, huh.
Cool.
This changes sometimes, nothing about the gif.
Sometimes I'm just watching a movie and I'm like, oh, it's that famous gif. I know that.
I like, Parks and Rec, every now and again it gets to that bit where Andy has a big, or Chris Pratt has a big kind of, face to the audience.
Yeah, the big shocked face.
Yeah, and I'm like, remember when every brand puts their character over that gif at some point?
No, not that I'm like cooler than you or anything, but I was watching Parks and Rec like as it came out. So
I know you showed me my first episode of Parks and Rec.
I did.
I was sleeping on the floor in your uni halls.
I also going back to the Carl Weathers like muscle arm gif. This is a version of that, which is it's Abby from The Last of Us. I don't know who else it is, but it's Abby and someone from The Last of Us doing that, which I enjoy. I enjoy that. That's cool.
I mean, look, she could probably body Carl Weathers in a fight.
They're both pretty tough, but
That's true.
Rest in peace to a king, Carl Weathers.
Indeed.
Oh, Kurt Russell's so hot, man.
We've already done this.
I know, but he's so hot. He's got the hair, he's got the beard. I'm like, oh.
He's actually very cold in this movie.
Shut up, you.
He gets frozen outside and he's pissed off about it. They shut the door on him and then he's like, I don't care who's the thing. I'll kill every single one of you fucks. I'm cold.
Yeah, this movie, it does have like periods where it's like, we're going to go over here and do this thing. And then it'll just cut. And then it'll be like, all right, we're back from the thing. And that's obviously purposeful. So like, it drives up the paranoia. So like, you don't know what's happened or who's who and all this sort of shit. But it's like, all right, we're going. All right, we're back. We did it. But now I'm an alien, maybe.
Yeah, we did this, and we're increasingly suspicious of one more person.
Yeah.
Whilst we did it.
I was just going to say, you wouldn't let anyone out of your sight, would you?
No.
Everyone sit
in a circle.
Yes, exactly. Everyone sit in a circle. Let's all grab shotguns and aim them at each other. And then the fucking... Well, actually, no, you can't give an alien
We'll play Grandma's Whispers or something.
We'll all have a stick of dynamite, all right?
Yeah.
And anyone moves, we just fucking go, all right?
I don't think that's very long term.
No, it's not. It's not, but... Yeah.
They do figure it out eventually in the sense that they...
Well, they say that, but then even when there's like three of them at the end, they're like, all right, you stay here, Keith David. We're going to go see the doctor. You stay here alone. We're going to go see the doctor, who's an alien. And maybe he's escaped, but we don't know that. Anyway.
Yeah, but by that point, I think they'd all resign to the fact that it's like, we're all probably going to die. But the important thing is, we've seen the doctor's findings, right? We've seen that we can't let this thing out.
Yeah, but you still keep an eye on each other, though. Because then what if there's like another four of them and just one of you?
That's true, yeah. You very quickly get outnumbered.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, bunch of spidery head people running around trying to distract you. I do quite like that they do start to slowly apply more logic to the scenario. And it's the human's own idiocy that fucks them. Like, it's their inability to work together that gets so many of them killed.
Yeah.
Because they all just start being like, oh, well, I've got a gun, so I'm going to point it at the people that I think are weird. And it's like, that's not a good way to do it. But then they start doing blood tests and stuff.
The paranoia aspect of it is really good, dude. It really is like, I mean, obviously the special effects and the practical like makeup and props and everything is fucking incredible. But like, from a story perspective, the paranoia stuff is like, it's really well done. And like, the fact that... At no point do you really know. Like, you have ideas and you suspect people, but then even the movie is like, well, this guy, he's a little odd. Maybe he's the alien. Ah, trick. He's been shot in the head and he was fine, actually.
Yeah. You know? And you're a murderer now.
Yeah, you're a
murderer.
And
Kurt Russell, you should feel really bad. Oh, you don't care? That's fine.
He doesn't care.
He's like, I guess that makes you a murderer. And Kurt Russell's like, all right, dude, you're strapped to a chair. Suck it. I don't give a fuck.
It was very funny when like they was all strapped to a chair, but then one of them turned into the thing, and everyone's just like, "Holy shit, get us out of here!"
The bench is tipping up, and they're like, "Ah!"
Yeah, we're all tied to this thing. Let's fucking go, mate. Yeah,
I got a note. We kind of touched on it a little bit at the beginning, right, with the humans being the primary threat. But what I like about this is there is an element which makes you consider which one of these. Like, if we boil them down into the teams of the humans and the things, it makes you reconsider which is the prey and predator in this dynamic. Like, I know and I understand that the thing assimilates and copies as a means to survive, and it does kill things and people in the process, but it gets to the point where the humans have this such a desperation for the truth that they kind of flip the scales and become the active hunters. Like, the blood test forces the creature to come out of hiding. Yeah. They even say in the movie that like it's gonna kill to survive. It has an escape plan. It just wants to hide or leave. But the humans, it's the humans' intervention. And I understand that they were there, and they can't really help the fact that they were just living there. But it is the human intervention and the human consistent poking that gets so many killed.
And yeah, but at no point do I think this alien is just gonna fly off and live a peaceful life. You know?
Yeah, just as the dog, la-di-da.
Yeah. At no point is it just going to be like, oh, well, you know, I crashed here, but now I just want to go home and go back to my home planet. Like, Wilfred Brimley, he has that weird computer where, like, a few blocks appear or whatever, and then it's like, oh, it will take over the world somehow. It ran a simulation on his weird 80s computer, and it would, like, it will take over the world.
So quaint, by today's standards.
Exactly, yeah. And it'll take over the world in, like, 27,000 hours. I don't know how it arrived at that calculation, but apparently, yeah, it'll take over everyone on Earth in 27,000 hours.
I do think that that is important to state that is just a projection, a simulation that he's run. That's not a cold... Like, the thing we find out later, it is building a spaceship. Like, it crashed and it wants to go out. It wants to go home. It hasn't... I don't think
so
there's any...
So do you think it does want to go home, or do you think it wants to get to civilization?
I mean, I guess...
Because to me, it was like... not really. Like,
well, no, like a civilization and its home, it might have lost its home and therefore has come to find another civilization to call home.
All right, so let's say it goes to New York City, all right, and manages to land undetected, and, you know, no one's like, oh, there's a big alien, let's kill it, or whatever, you know?
It's
And it's like, and he's just a guy walking around New York City. You think that'll be fine, do you? You think...
No. If it got out, that's very, very bad news. I understand that.
Okay.
Like, I get that they had to die, but I think it reinforces the paranoia that the doc person there is doing. He's projecting those calculations. He's had to ask the computer how long would it take for this to happen. These are all his fears and concerns on the boiling point. This is never once, and I think that's part of what makes it so brilliant, is that we never understand what the thing is there to do or is for.
Like, but it's not like living peacefully though. That's the thing.
Yeah, but it's a predator. It does kill to survive.
This is what I'm saying. Like, this is why I don't think it just wants to go home and live peacefully, you know? Like, I think it's come with, maybe not come here with a purpose, because it probably crash-landed or something, but it's here now, and, like, this is why we can't let it get to civilization like it wants to, or whatever, because then it'll just feed and whatever it does.
No, I agree. I just think there is an interesting dynamic switch where at first the thing itself is far more predatory than prey. And then at one point in the movie, it switches where the humans become active hunters that pursue it. And obviously then it answers the call and kills most of them.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that there is that switch where they go, no, fuck this, and start taking control back. Very, very interesting.
Indeed.
What else is cool about this? Do you like the chess scene where he calls the computer a cheating bitch and then blows it up?
Yeah, I do. Surprisingly,
it's for the movie. I might be wearing my fucking tinfoil hat, but this is like an analogy for the whole movie, right? Like, it's because the computer pulls an illegal move. Like, the computer, that's why he calls it a cheating bitch, right? It does. I don't fucking play chess, right? But the movie tells us that the move that the computer made to win the game was not a move that is in the rules of chess.
Okay.
So it basically cheated at the game and won, and then Kurt Russell went, no, I still win, and blew up the computer, which is basically the thing arrives, the thing manipulates and cheats by hiding in plain sight.
Is that cheating, or is that just a thing it can do, though?
It's a thing it can do, but I still think the chess scene is a reference to it, because he ends up burning, like, he blows up the computer, he ends up burning the whole base down to still win. Irrespective of whether he dies or not, he loses the game of chess, he still wins overall. He stops the thing. Or so we think.
I just don't think that's cheating on the thing's path, though, because, like...
No, but from Kurt Russell's perspective...
Don't know.
Look, if I have superpowers, when I use them against you in a fight, for me, I'm like, that's not cheating, I've got superpowers.
But
you would feel pretty hard done by, wouldn't
but
you?
But where are these rules we've established, though? You know? Where have we sat down and drawn up a guidebook and been like, alright, so the rules of engagement are, you big alien creature who can shapeshift and multiply cannot shapeshift and multiply, okay?
I'm not talking about it to that level of nitpicking, Nathan, all right? I'm just saying it's an interesting idea that it possesses a power over him. He can't cheat the computer, but the computer can cheat him.
Mm.
So it will win by proxy unless he takes matters into his hands and burns the whole fucking thing down.
Maybe.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe. Does Keith David, is he an alien and does he drink gasoline?
I am so glad you asked, Nathan.
Because when he like took a drink of that thing, I'm like, And Kurt Russell's got that little smile and stuff, and like
he has a little sexy giggle.
And he was like, he was making Molotov cocktails and stuff. He was. I mean, you can do that with alcohol, but like, an alcohol is famously very flammable. But like,
no, but he poured out the alcohol and put petrol in it. Yeah.
Well, there we go. So I
mean, how did you read the ending? Was that your take, or is that
question? That was my kind of idea. Yeah, I thought we'd get a definitive answer, and I kind of like that we didn't. But yeah, I kind of took it as he gives him the bottle, and like as far as Kurt Russell's aware, this fucking thing isn't gonna know what gasoline is. You know, he'll take a drink, yeah, and he'll, if he's human, he'll go blah, what the fuck, and he'll whatever. But if he's alien, he'll be like, yummy.
Thank you for this alcoholism thing. Thank you, Kurt Russell's character.
I enjoy this, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah,
I too have had many a whiskey in my time.
But I do just love that, like any point in this movie, like you'll just see a bunch of dudes just drinking. Like throughout the whole movie as well, they've all got bottles of vodka and whiskey just all around them, and like,
yeah,
they're trying to fight for their lives here, but Kurt Russell's just walking around with a bottle of whiskey, just having an occasional sip.
There's a big shootout, like a Norwegian scientist runs in with a gun trying to kill a dog.
Yeah.
He gets shot in the head, and Kurt Russell opens his cabin door with a bottle of whiskey, just finished the game of chess, and he's like, what's all this then? Like, there is a level of this is just how we live, which is quite fun. But that is intentional. There are lots of moments in the movie, and John Carpenter has said this, that they intentionally show the consumption of things, just to show how close-knit this group is. But, you know, they pass a joint from one another. If one of them's the thing, now they're both the thing. Like, they pass a bottle of whiskey back and forth. Yeah, it's the dog licks the... You know when the dog runs up and licks the guy?
Oh, yeah.
It does that to be like, if I get shot, I need another thing. I need someone else to be the thing.
It's that easy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it's... There's loads of ambiguity to who becomes the thing. You know the shadow, the dog, when the dog walks into the room and there's the shadow of the man who is just sat there. And that's supposed to be like a thing of like, who did the dog bite?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know what you mean. Yes, yeah.
That shot isn't anyone that's in the film. John Carpenter purposely casted a different person that would resemble both silhouettes of who it could be.
It was me.
It was me too, but...
Oh, nice.
There's loads of stuff in it that's...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's designed to be intentionally... you're supposed to look at it and find about 30 different moments that people could have become the thing. So that the moments that where they do become the thing, you're like, did I catch that? Or was that just me overthinking it like everyone else in the movie is?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's very clever.
It is very clever. It's really well done. Mm. Yeah. I like it.
So
Keith David is the thing.
I think he's the... He in my opinion, he is the thing.
Mm.
But the prequel goes on to ruin that. But before we get there, because the prequel's like, we'll bring some new lore to the thing. And I'm like, thanks for completely totaling one of the only plausible theories of the ending of this movie.
Is it like, the aliens actually love drinking whiskey and gasoline? No, they actually know the difference or whatever.
Yeah, they go into the spaceship and they're like, hang on a minute, there's petrol and whiskey in the spaceship. The alien is a frequent enjoyer of both and would be able to clearly distinguish the difference.
Yeah.
So my personal take on the ending is that it's MacReady's Kurt Russell's character is shown to be the one that he's obviously the smartest. He's got the most. I mean, like, I'm sure there's people scientifically smarter, but he understands, like, don't fuck with me, I'll blow us all up. He also understands, let's do the blood test. Let's, you know, look. He's constantly figuring out things on the fly to give him an advantage.
He's a good leader.
He is a very good leader. Mm. And I like that he's warned earlier in the movie not to share fluids or meals. The guy says, we should eat out of tins and we shouldn't share and cook meals together now.
Yeah.
He passes that information on to the crew, and at the end, he obviously offers Childs a drink. And yeah. I think that is very much a final test. And the test is very much when Childs drinks, he laughs, because although that he might have lost, he still figured it out. Like, although he realizes, the thing made it out, he's still beating it. He knows definitively, so, I think.
So you think it could go either way, then?
I think he could have been the thing, and I think also that it could have. I think there's a line where he says, you know, even if one of us is got any, even if one of us has any surprises for the other one, neither of us are in a fit state to do anything about it. So my read is that Keith David is the thing, but that they'll both probably, being so weak, just die there together.
I mean, Kurt Russell's definitely not the thing. We saw him.
Yeah, we stayed with him the whole time, pretty much. Yeah,
we saw him fight other thing.
There are some theories. Do you want to hear some theories?
I would love to hear some theories, because there's nothing more I love than some theories.
Ending explained.
Yeah.
So Childs is, so obviously the thing rips clothing. That's a big thing throughout the movie. If you've been attacked by the thing, you likely have some ripped clothing that you've smuggled somewhere or tried to hide.
Yeah.
Childs is in a different coat at the end. He wears a blue coat throughout the entire movie, but at the end he wears a beige coat. So for a long time, people were like, he's the thing for that reason.
Okay.
However, the 4K Blu-ray re-release and remaster of this shows that he is in a blue coat at the end, which has been snowed over.
Okay, so that theory's out of the water then.
So that theory's gone.
So thanks to the beauty of HD, high definition, we're able to see.
Well, no, you say that, but then also on the commentary, the cinematographer went, oh, yeah, no, that's nothing. That's bullshit.
Okay, great.
So any ambiguity is out the window there. He doesn't rule out Childs being the thing, but he says people that have cottoned onto that reason for years, you've been holding on to bullshit.
You're wrong, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one debunk. Other debunk I mentioned from the 2011 prequel introduces some new canon. They have their own version of the blood test.
Who's it, the aliens?
No, the Norwegian team in the 2011 prequel. Oh, right, okay,
got you.
So they have their own version of the blood test. When I say it's the same movie, but
yeah.
They don't do a blood test, they do another test.
Okay.
So they work out that down to your cellular structure, the thing can replicate and create a perfect copy, but you would not be able to distinguish anything apart from body alterations, piercings, tattoos. The thing cannot copy those. It's just your cellular level.
I didn't figure that out.
I guess one of them had a tattoo, and then it was like, look, he doesn't have his tattoo. I can't remember. But
why would they have a tattoo? Well,
because it's not cellular, is it? They haven't. That's a body adjustment. It's like, I guess, if you had any plastic surgery, that's nothing to do with your genetic makeup.
Yeah.
So the thing wouldn't have a reference for it,
I guess.
But anyway, so it goes...
But then, yeah. See, I get pedantic about this stuff. And, matter. It doesn't matter at all, because it's a movie or whatever.
I agree. This is why I disregard this, because it fucking ruins my interpretation of the ending of the 1982, the thing.
No, but if it does it based on DNA or whatever, and then it just it creates a cellular fucking whatever, regeneration or whatever, but it's based on the DNA, so no tattoos, no piercing, it's a brand new version of you just aged up to whatever you are now or whatever.
Yeah.
But then why does it have the same haircut? And the same fucking...
I don't know!
You see, that's the thing. That's why I'm that doesn't make sense. It should have, very long hair or something. Or no hair.
Or no hair. Yeah. Keanu Reeves.
giant bald baby. Just fucking.
It should be Matrix in the pods style.
Yeah.
Like shaved heads kind of thing.
But then that like ruins it because then you're like, oh, it's that one.
It's so the bald like, one. Yeah.
I get it, but still.
Or they break into the thing's spaceship and it has an assortment of wigs.
That's just me being very pedantic, as I often am.
No, and please, I welcome it because any credit that is given to the theory in the 2011 version ruins how I perceive the 1982 version.
Okay.
Because basically, all in all, it can't copy tattoos or piercings, but in the ending of the original, Childs very clearly has an earring in the final scene.
Oh, so, right, okay.
By their logic, it's just Childs with an earring, normal human Childs, going, sitting next to normal human Kurt Russell, going, thanks for the petrol, swig swig, nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, it fucks it, basically.
Yeah, well, that is not canon, officially.
Indeed. John Carpenter has allegedly proposed, and this was years and years ago, this was like early 90s, John Carpenter allegedly proposed a sequel that would feature both Kurt Russell and Keith David. So in his mind, I guess neither of them are the things, but I don't know if that's... That doesn't speak to his original intention. You can always change stuff.
I mean, it could, for all we know, it could pick up right where it was. So.
Yeah, I mean, it could do, yeah. So, yeah, so. Who knows? Both men have aged wonderfully, so who knows?
Oh, wait, when did he propose this?
Like early 90s.
Oh, yeah, he could have got away with it.
Yeah, I think he could have got away with it. You know, yeah. Iced them up a little bit.
82?
82, yeah.
82? Yeah, fuck it, it's fine.
Mate, put some ice over their face, put them in a big hood, you're golden, you're fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
The only thing that would be different is Keith David's voice being so much more velvety smooth and rich.
Yeah, it's only gotten better with age.
It really has. Oh, God, what a devil of a man. Mm. Yeah, so that's my interpretation of the ending.
I think he's a big alien.
I think he's a big alien, and I think Kurt Russell knows he's fucked, but also knows that he's also fucked the alien.
Nah, I think he's a big alien, and I think that, like, Kurt Russell gave him the gasoline, and then he's like, and then, like, the credits rolled, but what we didn't see is that as soon as the credits rolled, he just, like, threw, like, a fucking stick of dynamite at him. And
he just torches the shit out of him.
Eat that, bitch! And then just blew him up.
That is very likely. I think that is likely, like, what happened.
I thought, because like they make a point of being like, oh, we're going to blow the base up or whatever. And they blow the base up, to be fair. And everything is fucking gone. Except for Kurt Russell's shack, though. Like, his shack is completely fine by the end of it. But they're like, well, the base is gone, so I guess we just have to freeze to death. But like, your shack's fine. You can go up there.
No, but I just don't think they want to... That they don't want anything else. Like, they need to... Oh, no, I see what you're saying. Yeah, they could easily just go and sit in their shack. But they do they trust each other, Nathan, is the thing.
Well, who knows?
Who knows indeed.
But, yeah, good stuff.
What do you think of their vibe? I liked the vibe of the guy that roller skated around the base listening to Stevie Wonder.
Was there a guy roller skating? I must have missed that. Yeah, I remember like Stevie Wonder playing. I remember very superstitious. But I remember a guy roller skating.
Right at the beginning, he, like, comes in and... it's when they've just shot the Norwegian guy at the beginning.
Okay.
And then a guy, we meet one of the team because he roller skates into the room where they're conducting an autopsy on him.
Which one was it?
I can't remember his name. He looked like the youngest one.
He was quite
a young fella. Yeah, he wasn't any of the nerds. He was the one that went with Kurt Russell and then ditched Kurt Russell.
Oh, I thought he was an alien at one point.
I thought everyone
was the other
black
guy.
The other black guy. Yeah,
the one who's not Keith David. I thought because like when they went to Kurt Russell's shack and they're like, hey, that light's on in my shack. It wasn't on before. Let's go up there. And then he came back on his own. I was like, oh, clearly he's an alien.
He's killed Kurt Russell.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, off screen.
I didn't think he'd killed Kurt Russell, but
away with him.
But he came back and he was like, Kurt Russell's an alien. So I was like, oh, well, no, he's not, because he's the main character. You're an alien.
Those who smelt it dealt it.
Yeah, exactly.
Young man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I so I like him. There's some fucking annoying bullshit about, You know Windows, the guy that's like, I can't get through to anyone on my radio. I'm pointless.
He's the one who... Is he the one they find, like, where's Windows? And they're, like, just standing over his burnt corpse. Is that one?
Yeah, I think it's that one, yeah. I know that he's the one with glasses, whether that's his corpse or not.
Yeah,
I'm not
I
sure,
think, because they pull the glasses out of, like, the burning thing. Like, is that Windows? Yeah. And then they pull out the glass and, like, that's Windows. So
this checks out. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only
maybe that's
one
why he's called Windows,
glasses.
Because he was wearing glasses.
I think that might be the reason, yeah.
Yeah, there you are, see?
We've solved the thing.
Surely more of them were wearing glasses.
Yeah, they're all nerds.
They're all old men.
They're all scientist nerds, yeah.
Yeah. Not a woman among them.
No. That's why Mary Elizabeth Winstead was like, oh, there is a thing about that, I think. There's like a weird line where they're like, this woman's coming with us because it's the 80s. Even though it's made in 2011, they have to acknowledge that, like, this is no place for a woman doing science.
The Arctic is no place for a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no place for a man either. It's very famously a very inhospitable environment. You know? Yeah.
If this movie shows us anything, it's that, like, surviving is hard enough, but surviving with a big fucking thing running around, yeah, it's worse.
I'd live in the Arctic, I reckon. Build me a house with good Wi-Fi and good heating, and I think I'd enjoy it there, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be my ideal environment.
What, like, I'm picturing, like, end of Breaking Bad, Walter White style, like, running.
He lives in Alaska in end of Breaking Bad, doesn't he? Alaska is a place I would love to live.
You'd have to run down the town to get your local mail.
It's quite famously very right-wing, Alaska, I believe.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I believe so. I think it always votes Republican. But it's a very picturesque place, though. It's a very beautiful place. And it seems to be nice and cold. Alaska, I think, is certain parts of it anyway. It's one of those places where, like, it's either always daylight or always dark.
Oh, like, it's like dark for 6 months and then bright as shit for 6 months, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
God damn the fucking sun. yeah, no, I don't know. I think I'd go insane. I think I'd hate to live in darkness for 6 months. I'd absolutely hate it.
No, I'd love it, I think.
But then when it was nice and bright, I'd be like, I like this. This is very pretty.
See, that, for me, that would be the fucking insane one. If I'm, like, up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And it's just... pure fucking... It's bad enough in the summer when it's 10 p.m. and it's broad daylight. I'm like, I fucking hate this. I cannot stand this, mate. So if it was 3 a.m. and it was broad daylight, I'd be like, fuck me.
Maybe why don't we'll get a little chalet out there. We'll book we'll create a business and I'll run it for 6 months of a year while you go into hibernation and then vice versa.
What we'll do is we'll get them on opposite sides of the world. So like in the 6 months where it's like daylight, you live... And then I'll live in the 6 months where it's pitch black. Okay. And then we swap, so we're always in.
We'll do the holiday. All right, yeah, we'll do that. That's fine.
Exactly. I mean, we would probably both go insane, just constantly living in either total brightness or total darkness. But
it can't be good for the soul, can it? It can't
no,
be good.
Not at all.
I think right now we live in a nice state of balance. Let's keep it that way. Did you like the score, which is famously mostly one note?
I couldn't tell you a single fucking...
No, you don't, like the opening, and then when he takes the swig of petrol at the end, and it goes dun, 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 dun.
No,
dun,
I couldn't tell you it. I didn't notice it really.
Really? Oh, mate.
Yeah, wasn't zoned in on that, unfortunately.
It's so good. This is another one of my straw hat. This is another one of my tinfoil hat moments. But it's the score is. Very famously from this one note, pretty much. I know that there's underneath backing, but its primary track is just that one note played over and over in sequence. And I think there's something to the effect of, like, the isolation in this movie, like how everyone is very much in it for one thing, and that's themselves. They don't trust anyone. It's very singular and very standoffish, and I think that's one note played over and over again kind of highlights that isolation, which is lovely. And I think it's deployed like three times in the movie. But every time it does, I'm like, oh, that's it. It feels like a needle drop, which is insane to say about one note.
That is pretty insane to say.
No, but yeah. But it's effective, you know. Like the Batman score, people go on about that Giacchino Batman score, but that's just dun 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 dun, dun for long stretches of it.
Mm.
It's. I think there is a really good, like there's a cause for its simplicity that's quite appreciated. I think
I was too distracted to notice it.
That's fair. Yeah,
I was too distracted by like a man turning into a big like head spider or whatever, or like some dude with half his face ripped open and being like a fucking a big monster at the end or whatever. Like,
look, there's a lot to look at.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, really.
Yeah. Have you got any other notes? Any other little things? Anything to say?
Anything else? God, Kurt Russell's hot.
Kurt Russell's very hot, and let's call it a day there. Should we do some recommendations?
I would love to do some recommendations, Lawrence, but what is that?
Well, it's a good thing that you asked, Nathan. Recommendation, it's time for us... I always go and read this out wrong. Nathan, it's time we recommend some stuff. What we do at this point is we recommend something to each other and to you, the lovely listeners. It could be something that we've watched, read, listened to, experienced, just anything we've done this past week that we'd love to share with each other and to you. What'd you do this week?
Off your pop. You always go first. You know.
I don't like always going first.
But I like going last.
Oh, fine. All right. I was taken out for my birthday this week. It wasn't
your birthday.
It was. Well, not at time of recording this week, but last week when this comes out, it was my birthday.
Tell everyone how old you are.
I'm 27. I'm officially in my late 20s, to much to Nathan's joy. Actually, I'll tell you what. If I can get there quick enough, I'm going to read Nathan's unhinged
I remember the amount of bullying you did to me when I turned 27, and you were like, "Ha, you're so old, you're fucking ancient, mate." And like, you know, how the turntables.
Listen, from Nathan on my birthday, imagine being 27, couldn't be me, with some skull faces indicating he was laughing at me. I said, "I'm in my late 20s, but you're in your early 30s, I stay winning." He says, "I'm in my early 30s, you're in your late 20s. I'm early, I'm thriving, I'm having fun, you're late, depressed, dead. So really, I'm the younger and better one here, checkmate atheists."
Stand by it.
Look, like I said, your logic is flawed, but I really, really appreciate
it. It's not flawed at all. You're in your late 20s, I'm in my early 30s. Okay?
In terms of the indisputable facts,
Lawrence,
of...
I am 30, flirty, and thriving. Okay? You are 27, depressed, and divorced. Okay?
No, that's not true.
So,
stop doing this. Right,
which one of us here is thriving? Okay?
What you need to learn is that for the rest of time, unless you find a way to reverse it, you will always be older than me.
I will fucking interstellar style go to space, okay?
And you like, come back, I'm like, Nathan, I'm on my deathbed, and you're like, let's carry on with the podcast, and now I'm still younger than you.
Relativity is a thing, okay? So okay. I will find a way to age slower than you, okay?
Okay, all right. Aging slower than me doesn't tell me that you'd still be older.
Oh, no.
Yeah, if you aged slower than me, you'd still be older, because aging is the appearance of getting older, not... how many years? Time is linear. You've lived a certain amount of years.
Time is linear unless it's relative.
I'll shut up. Anyway, for my birthday, I was taken out to a lovely manor house lit by candlelight with a string quartet orchestra. Nathan.
A manor house?
A nice little manor house.
Sounds like Tory activities.
No, it was fun. It was good. They performed some of Hans Zimmer's greatest hits.
Hans Zimmer?
Hans Zimmer, the German composer.
Did they do...
that was the closing number. That was the big finish. It was.
Did they do... hold on, I know this one. fuck, how's it go?
I can tell you the list. Yeah, time, Inception, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What's the Interstellar one?
The Cornfield Chase one.
Yeah, I know the name of it, but I'm like, how does it go?
Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head.
You know.
Yeah, the big one from Interstellar.
Yeah,
they did that one. They did some of The Lion King, which was good.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king. That's Elton John, isn't it?
No, but Hans Zimmer did the music, Elton John.
Can you feel the love tonight?
No, I think Elton John did some of the soundtrack, but...
Do you know my favourite thing about the Lion King remake is? Is that when they do Can You Feel the Love Tonight, starring Donald Glover and Beyonce, it's just set in broad daylight. Just with two emotionless lions being like... Just vaguely mouthing along to
Can You Feel the Love Tonight. You know how episodes ago we did Cats and then Cats 2019?
Yes.
Should we do that with The Lion King and The Lion King quote-unquote live action, which is an ironic title?
Maybe we should, actually. That's not quite a
bad idea. That'd be a very fun idea, right?
Yeah.
Suggest it if you want to, if anyone wants to hear
We don't have to do it that way. I can just put it on, okay? You got a free spot, you can add it.
Okay. Anyway, the reason I'm recommending this is they Concert by Candlelight, you'll find them on Instagram. They do events all over the country, and they're genuinely really good. It's a great, obviously they've reorganized the musical pieces to accommodate just four string quartet players rather than a whole fuck off orchestra. And what I quite liked about it, and it's kind of what you were saying about how you didn't really notice the score because of so much going on the screen in the thing.
Yeah.
They didn't show any movie clips to go along with it. So you really were able to just focus on kind of the complexity of what goes into a score. And Hans Zimmer's composed some absolute brilliant movies. And picturing the scenes in my head, as opposed to seeing them on a screen where I'd be watching something and distracting myself, it really made me hear all the minor little details that go into music, and it's a medium that I am very untalented in. I know how to play four chords on the guitar, and that's about it. But it's just something that it's like, my God, it's such when you listen to some tracks laid bare, and you know, not all of them are like this, and Hans Zimmer's had some misses, but when you listen to some of the tracks laid bare performed by very talented people, it's just you go, oh my God, this is lovely. I've always a part of me is watching movies. That's the score is often the thing I appreciate the least. Like it often goes unnoticed. It has to really stand out for me to notice it.
Yeah.
And that's just by nature of it gets buried under dialogue and sound effects and everything else. So yeah, it was a great experience.
Did they do
what's that one? Yes. So they did, right?
Oh, fuck yes.
And it made me laugh because he was like, you know, we're going to focus on some, because Hans Zimmer did the Dark Knight trilogy and he did Man of Steel and he did Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And it made me laugh because he was like, there was obviously no, like people that were there were obviously there because they just wanted a nice night out. They didn't really know all of the in-depth stuff.
Yeah.
So there was a fun call and response. And the first thing, he opened with Time.
Yeah,
Said, obviously everyone will know that was, and then put an audience to the put the mic to the audience. No one said a word, and I wasn't going to be the only one that said anything. So unfortunately, I had to let this guy die.
I would have. I could have won the audience,
and I could have done too, but I didn't want to. I just wanted to sit there and enjoy, and not have everyone for the rest of the show thinking that guy's a proper fucking loser.
Did they do this one?
This
is Flight from Man of Steel.
Oh, yes, they did do that one. Oh no, actually, tell a lie. So they ended with Pirates of the Caribbean, and then that was their encore song, Man of Steel. But no, when they did Wonder Woman,
the only good thing from that movie, by the way,
it's a great score, to be fair.
Terrible movie, though.
We've got an episode on it. Yeah, no, it did make me laugh that he just called the song Wonder Woman. And I was like, I'll have you know that is She With You by Hans Zimmer and Junkie XL, a song that I have memed many a time. So I was having a little smirk to myself at that. But anyway, that's enough music. Nathan, what are you recommending this week?
Did they do that one song from the...
Okay, it's not enough music. No.
Did they do that one song from The Dark Knight, which is just the same thing for like 10 minutes?
I think so, yeah. Okay, there was certainly a Dark Knight... But I don't like the score for The Dark Knight.
No, neither do I, to be honest.
It's very not Batman.
It's also too samey. Like, listen to The Dark Knight soundtrack and like every song sounds the same.
Yeah, Bruce is doing something cool.
It's just that over and over again.
It is that over and over.
It's no
best Batman score. That's a very good score.
Ooh.
Oh, it's best. Very good. I like the ones where it goes do-do-do-do-do-do in the 60s.
Yeah. Lego Batman had a good score, I think. And some needle drops.
Can't even remember. Yeah, that's the soundtrack, though. That doesn't count.
Yeah, I know, but still.
I don't like it when you're interested in my recommendations. They go on for too long. Go back to just saying, whatever, sounds dumb, and then moving on.
All right, whatever, sounds dumb.
Cool.
Lawrence, I watched a documentary this week about the making of my favorite video game.
I need to check this out. Is it any good?
Yes, it's very good. Yes, I watched Grounded 2, which is the making of The Last of Us Part 2. Very interesting documentary. Very, very good stuff. It came out this past week. Obviously, as I mentioned, it's all about the making of The Last of Us. What I found intriguing about it is it's very honest. It's not like Naughty Dog just put out like this, like, hey, we're a great company and we never do anything wrong, and like, okay, you know, we famously treat our workers very well and there's absolutely no crunch whatsoever and it's all great. They're very honest about like, no, we fucked up like quite a bit throughout this whole process, like we took some very wrong steps throughout the whole process and stuff, and there's people like questioning like Neil Druckmann's leadership and like steps that they made during the development of the game and how like stressful the whole process was for a lot of people working on it and stuff. And you know, there's a clip going around on Twitter about fucking Laura Bailey and like the reaction she got, and like
I've seen some of this stuff, right? Like it was threatening her newborn son or something.
Death threats to her newborn son, which is fucking horrific, man. But yeah,
imagine
really good
caring enough about anything to threaten a baby.
How much of an absolute fucking insane cunt do you have to be to threaten someone's newborn baby because you didn't like a part they played in a video game? What the fuck is wrong with you,
man? It's just insane, man.
Yeah, like, it's so also
like for Laura Bailey as well, like I'm sure she has a lot of like she put a lot into the character. I'm sure she helped flesh out
she
Abby
did an amazing job.
Yeah, she did an incredible job, but like she didn't write the fucking thing.
No,
it's at the end of the day, it is a job, leave her alone.
And like, also, fucking, like, you misunderstand it, okay? Fucking engage with the story, man.
I've seen, there was
someone drew, like, a concept art of what could be The Last of Us Part 3, and it was, like, Ellie and Abby teaming up. And, like, in the replies to that, there was so many, like, no, we don't want this, we hate Abby. I'm like, oh, my God. How? Jesus. Just fucking engage with the story.
It's been 4 years, guys.
I know, mate. Oh, my God. Ellie should have killed Ab. No, she shouldn't. That's the whole fucking point of the game, you idiots.
It reminds me, Laura Bailey just, like, coming on and voicing a character and then getting all this. Like, it reminds me of one of my favourite Mr. Sunday quotes from a video. Where he's talking about how a lot of people in the re-release of the Star Wars originals, like the 20th anniversary specials, how a lot of people watched the documentary on it and were like, this producer guy, his name like Rick McCullen or something, his name is.
Yeah.
People were like, this guy just kisses George Lucas's ass. This guy just does whatever George Lucas says. This guy, the producer that George Lucas hired to help him make these things, just does whatever George Lucas wants. And James just goes, yeah, that was his job. He's paid to do what a director of a movie tells him to do.
It's true. Yeah. It's very true.
It's like, I don't know, I like to picture these fucking incels that are like, oh, it couldn't be me. I'll never go into an office and do my spreadsheet until my boss tells me to, in which case I will do it. Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. It's it's whatever. People are fucking insane. But yeah, no, it is a really good documentary. It's like a great insight into like how the game all came together and stuff. And you know, they talk about like, you know, the very famously, like it leaked just a few months before it came out and stuff, and how that affected everything, and you know, how COVID affected the production as well and stuff. And
I know people that still to this day, like those leaks were so catastrophic for like, I mean, like the video game performed very well. Like it sold a lot of copies.
It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. But for the fan base in general, like there were people that heard about a certain character not being.
When a thing happens. Yeah.
When a big thing happens.
Yeah.
Right. They heard about that and how it happened. And I've asked them since on it and said, like, what did you hear? And they said, this, and this. And I was like, well, that's all wrong. Like it gets there in a roundabout sense, but the context is very wrong.
Yeah.
And like also some characters in general, the descriptions they have of them, I'm just like, nope, that's just wrong. That's not true. Yeah. It's very insane how much like those leaks damaged the game's reputation amongst a certain demographic.
I saw one comment and it was someone saying that like they played the game up until a thing happened and then they just stopped and refused to play anymore. And I'm like, well, you're a fucking idiot.
Imagine being that boring.
You're a tiny little baby who cannot engage with a fucking story, okay?
I won't say it didn't hit me hard. Nathan and I, we both stayed up that very night, played it up until pretty much the exact same point. You, I think you got there first, and you text me saying, call me after.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember looking at my phone being like, after what? Oh, whatever. Anyway, carried on playing. Then I called Nathan after. Right. And we were both like, time for bed, we reckon. Just a but very like, sad time.
That's the whole fucking point of it, though.
Yes,
it's so fucking intentional to elicit that reaction for you. You're supposed to feel sad. You're supposed to hate this person. You're supposed to want revenge. You're supposed to engage with the story in that way so that when you do get to later events, you experience another story in another way.
And it forces you to reframe your perspective.
Exactly.
And you're supposed to go, oh, well, if I felt like that for that, then am I hypocritical for not feeling this about this?
It frustrates me so much that people just refuse to engage with what, in my opinion, is one of the fucking greatest stories ever told. I genuinely love it so much.
That's the thing. I don't think you can ever validly critique something if you gave up or cast preconceived dispersions on it. Like, I don't think you can ever say outright, it's bad because I didn't get it. And it's like...
If you played it all and it just wasn't for you, fair enough, you know? That's absolutely fine. But just completely fucking throwing your toys out the pram and refusing to engage, it's just...
Yeah, it's... Grow up. It's real, real sad. And just kind of a... Like, it's kind of embarrassing, to be honest.
It's cringe, mate.
Yeah.
It's so cringe.
Finally,
pure cringe. Yeah.
anyway,
that's my recommendation / rant for this week.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, I will check that out. I've been meaning to get to that. It's on my Letterboxd watch list.
Well, it's on my Letterboxd logged.
No, he's logged it before me.
I've logged it. Yes.
God damn. All right. Thank you very, very much for listening.
Watch it on the actual game as well. Watch it on The Last of Us because, like, no YouTube ads. So, there you go.
I mean, I don't get them anyway, but I don't want to flex on you guys.
Do you have premium?
Yeah, you do. You know this, right? You did too, not too long ago.
I know, but I had to stop.
I'm not having you cover me. But like, oh, you pay for that. So do you. Sometimes
I don't anymore. I had to, but I won't be. I'm not going to judge a man for paying for YouTube Premium because trust
Thank
me,
you.
I get it. All right, fucking hell. I will be again soon, but like fucking hell, it's. Yeah. It's tough out here, man.
But for the time being, if you want to avoid those ads, watch it on the game. Yeah,
watch it on the game. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you very, very much for listening. If you have enjoyed the show, then you can leave us a little 5-star review. It'd be much appreciated. You can do that on your podcast platform of choice, especially Apple. That'd be great because you can leave a little message. You can write something, and it warms mine and Nathan's heart to read some of the nice things that you guys say.
Apparently, on Spotify is a Q&A feature. I've heard. Apparently, that's what it is.
I don't know if it's consistent. I think it comes up sometimes.
Well, you asked one to one of ours, and like, but where does that go?
We don't know. Like, yeah, like, so
we have no idea where to get them. But maybe
if it says, "Did you enjoy this episode?" on a Q&A thing, and you can type in and submit a thing, right?
Yeah.
You're welcome to do that, but you may as well be sending it to God. We have no fucking clue where that goes. Into the ether somewhere.
But still do it. We'll figure it out. We'll find it
eventually, but
yeah.
If you send us a time-sensitive message, that's not the best place to do it. just a heads up. Next week, Nathan, we are going to be doing this, and I'm quite excited for it.
Did you locate the weapon?
Yeah, it's just a kit.
Are you going to heaven?
No. You gotta be a good person to go to heaven.
So, we're the same. We can't go to heaven because you're not good. And I'm not a person.
Robots.
Robots indeed. Or maybe not robots. Who knows? Nathan, we have another podcast, don't we?
We do, Lawrence. It's called Still Got Legs. It's our Doctor Who rewatch podcast where every week we're watching an episode of the revival era. We're coming to the end of David Tennant's run in the last few episodes. Just three more to go at time of recording. So, yeah, get involved. Stay tuned. Fucking tune in. Do whatever. Fucking listen to it, cunts.
See if we care. No, we do. We put more effort into that one.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, go listen to that one instead. But don't abandon ship here, all right?
No, listen to them both. They're both good.
We're doing Mario next week. You wouldn't want to miss it. thank you very much for listening. We will see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I was a thing all along.
No!